The end of the article isn't the end of the story. The Journal podcast goes behind the scenes with reporters and covers everything from the Mormon Church's $100 billion fund to coronavirus. Listen to The Journal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, June 1st. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. When the pandemic first hit the U.S., tech leaders rounded up a task force to see if they could find some innovative fixes to the public health crisis. There was a lot of enthusiasm around Silicon Valley, and it seemed like everyone wanted in. But it's been a couple of months now, and few of their biggest plans have materialized. Our deputy tech editor, Brad Reagan, will join us to explain why that is after these headlines. Just days after flagging two of President Trump's tweets with fact-checking labels, Twitter placed what they called a public interest notice on more of Trump's tweets on Friday. In the tweets, the president criticized protesters who had clashed with police in Minneapolis. Demonstrators were protesting the death of George Floyd, a black man who died last week after being pinned to the ground by a white officer with a knee on his neck. Trump used racially charged speech in the tweets, including describing the protesters as thugs and using the phrase, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." Twitter says the posts broke their rules against encouraging violence, and their action is likely to escalate tensions with the president. Last week, he signed an executive order taking aim at what he called censorship by social media companies.
Dragon, SpaceX, go for launch.
SpaceX Dragon, we're go for launch. Let's light this candle.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA. Go SpaceX. Godspeed, Bob and Doug.
And it was liftoff for a SpaceX capsule carrying two NASA astronauts. The team launched on Saturday from Cape Canaveral, Florida, after delaying the flight last week because of bad weather. On Sunday, SpaceX became the first private entity to link up with the International Space Station. It's a milestone for the company, which is owned by Elon Musk, but also for NASA. And the achievement marks a shift towards more public-private partnerships in the future of space travel. We talked about the shift in depth on the show last week, in case you'd like to go back and take a listen. After the break, Silicon Valley put together a task force to battle the coronavirus pandemic. But in 2 months, they haven't made much headway on most of their ambitious ideas. That's coming up next.
Robotics, artificial intelligence, augmented reality. The future is here. Listen to Tomorrow, Today, with The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything, the podcast that takes you to the front lines of science and tech and shows you what's coming next. Look ahead. What do you hear? The Future of Everything, from The Wall Street Journal. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Silicon Valley has long pitched itself as the solution finder to many of the world's biggest challenges. So when the pandemic hit, no surprise, tech movers and shakers put together a task force of giant companies, investors, and the White House to try and come up with solutions. They wanted to kick the nation's innovation engine into gear and use tech to fight the coronavirus. But a few months later, the task force has hit several bumps in the road, from a leadership change to privacy challenges. Here to give us the latest is our deputy tech editor, Brad Reagan. Brad, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be here.
So, Brad, remind us, how did this group get started and who was in it at the onset?
Well, this was early March, and kind of the driving force was this guy, Josh Mendelson, and he had been at Google and had helped them do some disaster relief during Hurricane Katrina. And he started pulling together some contacts and talking to people around Silicon Valley. And, you know, that was the moment when the virus was really taking hold around the country. And Silicon Valley folks wanted to help. I think the intentions were good. And it wasn't hard to get people to be involved. All the biggest tech companies had membership on this task force to start. Amazon, Google, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft. Everyone was involved. One of the top venture capitalists out here, Ron Conway, was instrumental in kind of adding the contacts and putting people together. top epidemiologists and researchers were involved. And as you said, people from the White House. It was about, I think, 45 people at the outset in those first early meetings.
And what were some of the early solutions that they were talking about?
It was really all over the map. I mean, the idea, it was just a lot of brainstorming sessions. They talked about sending Kindles to nursing homes and tracking available hospital beds. And of course, one they focused on was the idea of contact tracing and using digital technology to figure out where people have been that were infected, who they were in touch with, to digitally figure out how the virus moved through space. That became an area that early on people in Silicon Valley thought they would be able to help with.
But very few of those grand plans actually came to fruition. Why not?
A variety of reasons. I would say the biggest one was probably privacy. There were a lot of questions about how do you use people's personal data? If you use that data, how can you guarantee its privacy? We've come through this period in the last few years when data privacy is more important to all of us. And also the tech companies have gotten in so much hot water over data privacy that they need to be more careful than ever about how this data gets used. And so in some cases, they were a little bit cautious. In other cases, experts or others felt like the data protections weren't enough. So that was one of the key debates that kind of persisted throughout the meetings. And I think in general, there became just a realization that this is a public health crisis and there may not be a tech solution to it. And, you know, as I said, I think everyone involved was well-meaning at the outset. And this is a place where people like to dream big and think about big solutions. But after a few weeks, it became clear that maybe there's not a big tech solution for this global crisis.
There have been some smaller tech solutions. It feels like some of these companies have kind of branched out on their own. How has the group reorganized or refocused?
Well, they've gotten smaller and they're trying to do more just connect people and making sure that the right people are talking to the right people about projects that are in motion. They're not doing as much kind of brainstorming from the ground up and developing their own projects. The big tech companies are a little bit more fragmented. Apple and Google have their own project to aid in contact tracing, is the best way of putting it. They're not doing the contact tracing themselves, but they've built a software platform to allow people to develop apps on top of that. Facebook is doing a lot of things in terms of helping states recognize how people move. But they tend to be one-off and they tend to be narrower projects done kind of at a company-specific level rather than a kind of across the industry, which is what the initial idea was.
It's obvious that this is a global pandemic and everyone was really excited to work on it, but was there also an incentive for some of these companies who've been trying to get into the health sphere to work on a project that was directly connected to health data?
It's certainly true that health is seen as a massive growth opportunity for Silicon Valley. It's an area with billions and billions of dollars that are spent often fairly inefficiently. And the big tech companies have said repeatedly they see health as an area not only where they can do great business, but where they can help society. So in some ways, the pandemic was an intersection of that, but it also showed in some cases that they have to be careful about it and not be seen as profiteering or doing things only to suit their business interests. And I think most of what we've seen over the past few months is that they've been pretty cautious about that and haven't tried to too aggressively elbow their way in on this.
Yeah, we often talk about Silicon Valley and tech as these big powerhouse innovators for huge world issues. What do you think, based on how this played out, the takeaway could have been for some of these task force members?
Well, I think in some respects, it's a little bit humbling for some of these folks to realize or be told that tech may not be the central solution. I think this is also a situation where to get anything done, they really needed to be integrated into what the federal government was planning and doing. And for whatever reason, that didn't happen. As we know, the federal response was a little bit disorganized at times, but they also delegated a lot of those things to the states. And that made it harder for the big tech companies to have to deal with 50 different states and however many localities rather than just the federal government. And I think when those initial contacts with the White House weren't as effective as they thought, a lot of the momentum went away. So I think one of the takeaways for sure would be that they, to get in on a big national solution like this, they need to have better relationships at the governmental level.
Our deputy tech editor, Brad Reagan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was your tech news briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.